Hi. So what I signed up to do today is to tell a story to the congregation about a moment on the trip which meant a lot to me. And I, you know, put off writing it until we had a five-day weekend with all the snow days, because it was really hard to pick one moment on such an amazing trip, which for me was only one of four amazing trips. So last year I wrote my college essay about the trip last year, because, you know, I knew that these trips were important and I knew I wanted to write about them. And at the beginning I didn't really know how to go about it. And my English teacher sort of warned me to stay away from service trips as a topic, because she'd seen in the past that it was easy for people to fall into the cliche of, "I discovered that poor people can be happy," or that I would appear as, you know, a preppy Concord kid, praising myself for coming down from my ivory tower to shower pity and money on the hopeless people in the world. So I didn't write my essay about the work. I wrote it about how these trips are the single biggest reason that I have faith that it's possible that there could be a higher power out there. One night on this trip, I went with Bob to be interviewed by our host pastor, Hugo, for his internet TV program. And Hugo asked me what I thought the best way was to get teenagers involved with faith. And I was a little caught off guard by this question. And I sort of tried to answer as best I could, but I'm going to try to answer it a little bit better now. I think the best way to get teenagers involved with faith is through trips just like these. So back in my freshman year, in confirmation class, I wrote in my faith statement the following: "I still don't really know if I believe in God, but if there is a God, I felt much closer to him this year. I feel more confident than I have before that there might be a greater power out there, and I want to continue trying to find out what I believe. This journey is not something that can be completed in a single year, and I doubt it can truly be completed in a whole lifetime." This statement has become more and more true for me since then. I don't think that there are any kids in Concord who come on these trips expecting that they're going to discover a connection with God or Jesus. I think that they do it because it sounds fun, and they enjoy the work, and they enjoy helping people, which is, you know, really all the important things. In our words of welcome at TriCon, Bob, or, you know, whoever else is leading the service, usually says something about welcome to the believers, the questioners, and the questioning believers. Now, I could be wrong, but my impression is that most people in Concord, especially teenagers, fall into the questioners and questioning believers categories. So in Catadupa, Jamaica, the same year that I wrote that faith statement, I will admit, you know, I did go through the poor people are happy too phase. But it is true that the Jamaicans are the most cheerful people that I have ever met. The man on our worksite, who went by Mr. T, did not stop smiling. And although I think he was, you know, older than my grandparents, he did not stop mixing cement or shoveling rocks the entire day. You know, even when all of us were stopping to take a water break or anything, you know, he was the hardest worker and the happiest person on the site the entire time. And he had God's love in him, and he poured it out onto all of us. The next year, in Webster Springs, West Virginia, my group worked on replacing a shower for a man named Willie, who had some learning differences in a region where the support systems for that are really not there. He was outgoing and friendly, and, you know, because there were seven of us in the group and we were working in a bathroom, which was a little bit of a small space, we got to take turns talking with him a lot, sort of, you know, one of us would take a break from work and sort of get to go bond with him. And I really saw God in the love that he showed us and his two little dogs. We built the first snowman that he had ever had on his yard. And we took a picture with him and the snowman, and he hung it on his wall that day. In Black Mesa, Arizona last year, I saw God in Mary Lou, the pastor's wife, and also really in my fellow mission trippers. after I siphoned a couple of buckets of water through a hose that really should not have gone in anyone's mouth for her bathroom where the pump was broken. The youth and the chaperones got together and we bought a new pump for her bathroom. And I saw God in the expression in her eyes when she realized that she could take a shower again. You know, something so simple to people like us. But I firmly believe, however, that the events that day affected me far more than they affected Mary Lou. You know, I don't think Mary Lou still remembers my name, but I won't forget hers. You know, she could have saved up for, I don't know how long it would have taken, maybe it was a couple weeks, maybe a month or two, but eventually she could have afforded a new pump. You know, we didn't have to do that for her, but we did, and I think that's what makes the difference. And then Bob drove 4 hours, I think, to go and pick it up. That wasn't necessary, but I think that's what God is about, and that's what we did. This year, on my fourth and final mission trip to the Rio Grande Valley in Hidalgo County, Texas, I saw God most of all. I saw God again in my care group, like I do every year, because they didn't complain about my singing, which during the first hymn, my sister reminded me how bad it was with an elbow to the ribs. They didn't care how off-key I was or how, you know, terrible and tone-deaf I am, but they joined in too. And, you know, they never thought about who was going to judge them or, you know, the, like, social repercussions of, you know, singing really awfully, really loudly. And, you know, that's a huge part of these trips, is to get away from the social norms in Concord and just be as God made us and sing loud and proud. I saw God in the older kids who looked out for my sister and in the women who spent all day cooking tacos and tamales for our groups. I saw God in the elderly woman to whom I delivered food from a food bank, and the look on her face when I explained to her in my really awful Spanish that she did not have to pay me, and I was giving her the food. I saw God in the man on the farm at said food bank, who was more excited about fresh Swiss chard than anyone I've ever met. And I think that's what God and the kingdom of heaven are about. Finding a passion and absolutely loving it, whether that be farming Swiss chard or singing hunting, fishing, loving every day with my care group louder than I think anyone should ever sing that song. I saw God in the men from Pennsylvania, whom we worked with on the first 2 days. They take a month off from their jobs every winter to come down to Texas and work doing construction and building houses. I saw God in a man called Nick from Experience Mission.